live from the Ron Scott Communications Tower. This is From the Stand, as that young man just said. And joining me right now is John Hoffman, who is with the Cub Club and part of the Cubs to Oshkosh that took place on Sunday morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So exactly how many Cubs flooded the field here?
We believe we had 43 that actually made it here. So
amazing. And how long was it? You staged in Hartford, Wisconsin?
We staged in Hartford, Wisconsin about a year ago. EAA approached us at Hartford to honor the 80th anniversary of the Cub. And we had done the 75th, and we had 75 able to fly in 2012. And so they thought it was so much fun, let's do it again. So
right.
So we did the redo, and weather kept us down a little bit. We had 60 or so pre-registered, and we're hoping to get a few more.
Right.
But it was 21 came in, I think, on Friday, and then on Saturday, about 1 o'clock, as the fog started to lift, we heard a call out of the mist of a Cub coming in, and the whole place erupted. So we got another 22 or so that day, and it was a great time.
Good. Now, you said about a year ago EAA contacted you. Has it taken that long to pull this all back together?
You know, it takes a lot of village idiots, I guess, to put it together. Jessica Veruda, Steve Krog, I'll get some more names as they come to me, but
sure.
We all banded together with the city of Hartford, and the city was a real player in the beginning of it, and then we had the U.S. Open was actually held in Hartford,
right.
So that kind of took precedence in June, and then we kind of came together, Chris Hibben with Snap 180 Media, and we were able to put this all together, kind of in the, you know, it wasn't in the last minute, of course. Jamie Weber from Hartford, who works for the Cub Club and works for Steve Krog's Cub Air, was the kind of the linchpin that put everything together. She's only 21, but she's the most amazing 21-year-old you'll ever be around.
Hartford, if you don't know, is about 60 miles south of
Correct.
Oshkosh, almost due south if you take off going to the south. And it is a hotbed of general aviation, but not just general aviation, but really more antique and vintage aviation. I mean, there's a number of great airplanes based on the field there. Of course, you mentioned Cub Air, Steve Krog's flight school, where he actually trains people in Cubs.
Correct.
To either become a pilot or get their tailwheel endorsement.
They do a lot of tailwheel endorsements. Steve also writes for Sport Aviation, and every time he puts an article out, we get a lot more phone calls. But we've got roughly 20 students in the program right now.
Right.
I change oil in the Cubs every Friday or every Sunday night. We put in about 25 hours a week on each Cub, and we probably have another 15 or 20 on a waiting list.
So, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How many airplanes are in the flight school?
There's two that run regularly, and then we have a Cessna 150 available for private. You know, those kind of private students to finish off in, and then we have a couple of spare Cubs that we bring in as, you know, 100 hours come around and stuff
right.
like that.
So this really is grassroots flying. I mean, you're flying in a Cub, no electric, no radios, no flaps. This is
None of that.
Was done.
Right. You know, we get a lot of tailwheel endorsements where we have to knock the 172 out of them. So, you know, they don't know how to use the rudders, and they're all trying to kill you when you take off, so. It's a lot of fun.
Great. What and I know everyone who's here at AirVenture has their own favorite airplane, whether you're a 172 driver or a Cub or a Champ or whatever. But what is it about the Cub that just seems to make it so popular? I mean, not only with pilots and aviation enthusiasts, but the general public. Every small airplane is a Piper Cub, right?
Yeah, that actually used to be the term. It was like Velcro.
Right.
Every airplane back in the 50s was, you know, in the news was a Piper Cub. There were roughly 20,000 made. There's probably still 5,000 out there. They're uncomfortable, they're noisy, they're slow, and they are nothing but fun. So, you know, it's a hard airplane to get in, it's a hard airplane to get out of. It's just, you know, it's just wonderful. And if you look down there, you'll see, 43 different versions of Cub Yellow, all original. So, you know, it's if that debate gets going, you can just say it's original Cub Yellow. So,
yeah, I wasn't going to broach the paint subject, but now that you did, why are there so many different colors? I mean, the factory sent them out in all different colors as well.
I believe so. I think they, you know, Clyde Smith may disagree with me, but I think they added white or whatever they had if they needed to at the end of the day. And, you know, in fact, I've had people come by and say, oh, your lightning bolts are wrong on the side.
Right.
And we had a cowl that we stripped down to the a boot cowl that we stripped down to the bare metal, and we're able to see that the lightning bolt on one side was 4 inches different from the one on the other side. So, you know, it depended on what that guy had to drink the night before or who was on one side or the other when they were putting it down. At one time, they were making 30 a day. So
right.
They were cranking these out. These weren't showpieces.
So luckily, the quality control was in the welding of the fuselage and the taping, and not so much in the
paint.
Not
so much in the finish.
That's right. And as you mentioned, the Cub is just the kind of the ubiquitous airplane of general aviation, and continues to be popular throughout the years. Talk a little bit about the Cub Club. That's sort of a type club, and really share some great information with Cub owners and enthusiasts.
Yeah, the type club of the Cub Club, we provide blueprints, information on restorations, technical information. It's really what we're known for. The technical information we provide, 337s to our members. We provide STC so that the members of the Cub Club can put their airplanes together in a proper and safe mode.
How many folks are members of the Cub Club?
We have about 1,500 that are members of the Cub Club
right
at this point.
And you put out that newsletter?
Yes, we put out six newsletters a year. And like I say, most of it's in technical information. We do have some big adventures and things like that. We're actually working on an iPad app, and that's at Apple right now, which will put the Cub Clues online for those of us who are electronic geeks. And then I hope to bring that over to the Android version as well.
So. Imagine that. I'm sure the folks who are building Piper Cubs in the 30s and 40s never thought that
no, they
end
never
up
heard of
online.
They never heard of Four Flight either, and I see a lot of iPads in them too. So,
John Hoffman, he's with the Cubs to Oshkosh, helped organize the mass fly-in, also with the Cub Club and the Cub Air Flight School down in Hartford, Wisconsin. What's the furthest distance that someone came to be a part of the fly-in?
Looks like we had somebody from Vancouver.
Oh.
So he actually needed to buy a liter of oil from me, and I gave it to him gratis. I wasn't going to charge him for a quarter of oil. So.
And the closest ones?
Well, we had some lower local.
Okay.
So
local to Oshkosh?
Local to Hartford.
To Hartford, okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if anyone from maybe this area got in their Cub and flew to Hartford so they could fly back.
Boy, I don't know about that one. Probably. I mean, we did have quite a few of the local around. You know, I think I had one from Palmyra and that area. So.
Excellent. If someone would like more information about the Cub Club, how can they find that?
They can email info@cubclub.org, or our phone number is 262-966-7627.
And Clyde's doing well these days, which is good to hear. And still, as you say, the master of all things Piper Cub.
That is correct.
Good. And for the Cub Air Flight School? How do people get in contact with them if they'd like to get a tailwheel endorsement or just go out and do some fun flying?
Excuse me. Cubair.net is the name of the address of the website, and you can use the same phone number, 262-966-7627. We'll get you to Jamie, and she's our 21-year-old wunderkind, and she just got her private pilot's license last week.
Okay.
And rides a Harley, and... It's about 4'11", so
a powerhouse, I am
yes.
sure. And of course, she's grown up around all those airplanes.
That's correct.
Down there at Hartford. John, we appreciate you taking some time to join us today on our program. And again, if you'd like more information about the Cub Club or find out about type clubs, things like that, where's the type club hangar located?
Type club hangar is right next to the Vintage Red Barn.
Okay. And a relatively new addition to the vintage area within the last few years. It's nice Nice building.
It's a lot nicer than the old tent.
Exactly. So stop by and see John, and or if you have one of the other aircraft that are part of the type clubs, and they will give you plenty of information about how to keep those beautiful birds up in the air. That's going to wrap up our program for today. On tomorrow's show, we'll talk with Heather Wilson, the new Secretary of the U.S. Air Force, find out about a painstaking restoration of a rare P-63 King Cobra, and visit with the granddaughter of an original WASP, Women Air Force Service Pilots, plus learn about a new program for youth education that goes with that. From the Stand is supported by the Commemorative Air Force, the CAF, and the CAF's mission is education, that all of us will appreciate the role military aviation has played in preserving our freedoms. Visit the CAF tent on the southeast corner of Boeing Plaza, or visit them on the web at commemorativeairforce.org. I'm Steve Buss, and you're listening to EIA Radio.